Is it on?
It's recording.
Okay, Chevra, what I'd like to do with you now is we did the first three simonim in Basar B'chol, Pesach, Pesach, Beitas, which was there kind of to introduce you to how your everyday learning is supposed to be. And now we're going to get into the really complicated stuff, and Kuf Tes that we're learning now might be the most complicated of the complicated ones. It's really, if you didn't chop it, so don't feel bad, because it's hard, and it's supposed to be hard. The basic idea that we're trying to do today is to kind of give an introduction. There's a few things in Judaism that are not batal. Much of Taruvis deals with items that are not batal. For example, a beria is not going to be batal. Something is a complete creation, a complete creature, that's not going to be batal. The Gemara says that Gid Hanasha is an example of a beria, and it's not batal. Chateifa Haruila Hiskavi, if you have a kosh of a piece of meat that you give to a friend, and you give it like as something that you serve a guest, Chateifa Haruila Hiskavi is also not batal. There's a number of things that are not going to be batal. Davar Shebe Minyan is not batal. There's a number of things. However, if something is not one of those things, so then there is the category of bittul. And when we talk about the category of bittul, there's a difference between the bittul of lach belach and the bittul of yavesh beyavesh. Okay, lach belach basically means that I have a taruvis, I have a mixture, and it infuses, it gives off some of its substance into something else. So I have a piece of meat that I cook in water. So even though the piece of meat is yavesh, but the tam, the flavor of that meat, goes into the water. And then if I want bittul by lach b'lach, I always need shishim. Bittul of by davar lach, if I want the water to be mutter, no matter what, you need 60 times kineged the iser. That's the first halacha. But by bittul of yavesh b'yavesh, the halacha is that you don't need shishim. Yavesh b'yavesh, we paskin, is going to be batul chad b'trei. That means, let's say I have one piece of treif meat and two pieces of kosher meat. So the treif meat is going to be batul to the kosher meat. And it's all going to be okay. That's it in the bittul yavesh b'yavesh. Now the funny thing is, and many of the Acharonim point out, the Prima Gadim actually in his Hakdamah the Taruvis discusses this as well, yavesh b'yavesh doesn't mean that the items are all in the same place. I can have bittul of yavesh b'yavesh in different places. Mashal mahadav radom. Now let's say I have three refrigerators at home, and they have three pieces of meat in my three refrigerators. Right, and one piece of meat was given to me by my neighbor Slobodan, and that is treif meat. And then I have two other pieces of kosher meat that were given to me by my wife after she went shopping. So I have three pieces of meat, two are kosher, one is treif, and I forget which one was in the refrigerator in the garage, which one's in the refrigerator in the kitchen, which one's in the refrigerator in the Pesach kitchen / laundry room. You forget which is which. That's what the taruvus of yavish b'yavish. It's not this nisari. There's no mixture ki huzeh, but taruvus of yavish b'yavish works that l'cha'ira, since I can't identify which is kosher, which is treif, so it's going to be batul chavitrei. That is the din of taruvus yavish b'yavish. And Eli Natan has a question.
Would this then apply if it's technically lach, like different places, like
different soups? Yeah, so in theory, I could have, let's say, three barrels of wine in three different areas, and that could be the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. She speaks about cases of barrels of wine being bottled on each other because of lack of identity, even though technically the wine is a lach, but it's going to be like a bittul of yavesh in theory, right? In other words, a bittul of lach means that it infuses its taste into something else. Bittul of yavesh, the pshat is l'cha'ira, that there's just a lack of identity on the item. And you don't even need a taruvis to affect a bittul of yavesh b'yavesh. Now, hasvarinos senes, that bittul of yavesh b'yavesh would be true even if it is min b'she'inai minai. Let's say, for example, I have a kosher meat and treif meat, but the treif meat is pig. And pig is a different min than my kosher steak. Or, I don't know, whether the pig is... You can't identify whether it's pig or it's kosher steak. It's like sliced meat. So I have one slice of pig and two slices of steak. I don't know which is which. You can't identify it. Well, actually, probably veal, but we know that veal is also shaped like pig, so we're getting a little complicated over here. But you can't identify which one is which. So that's min b'she'in omino. Because the kosher meat, in this case, tastes different. The treif meat, right? It's not just that it's treif because it wasn't shafted properly. It's the same cut of meat. It's a different cut of meat. But I can't identify it because it was cut. So hasvara no sena, so the bitul of yavish for yavish, bitul because of lack of identity, l'cha'ora, should be mutter even by min b'she'in omino. Nonetheless, the Torah quotes from the Sefer HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma is Rabbeinu Baruch. He's one of the four main Talmidim, the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Baruch, the Baal Sefer HaTruma, assumes that by min b'she'in omino yinik shishim. Yavish b'yavish, min b'she'in omino requires shishim. And the reason for that you require shishim, the Ran explains, is because since it's min b'she'en omino, in theory you could cook them together. And in theory there would be tam going from one to the other. And whenever there is an infusion of tam, so therefore you need shishim. Since in this case is potentially the possibility of cooking them together and having it infused tam, therefore you need shishim. And the Ran explains further, right? This is all cool, just in the Beis Yosef, right? We're not saying anything fancy. The Ran explains further that the Rabbeinu Baruch is assuming that the din of tam keker is a din d'oraisa. If item A gives its flavor into item B, so then there's a din d'oraisa that you can't eat item B. Tam keker is d'oraisa. If that's the case, so I'm choshesh for a situation when I'll cook them together. And therefore, we assume that when it's min b'she'en omino, yavish b'yavish, requires shishim. That's the sheet of Rabbeinu Baruch, as explained by the Beis Yosef b'shem the Ran. And in Shulchan Aruch, basically, we paskin that you need shishim. The Ramah writes in Se'if Aleph, that if it is a taruvus of yavish b'yavish min b'she'en omino, that you need shishim. Now, here's the thing. The Prima Gadim points out in the Psicha, where... Let's take a step back. We are talking about normal Judaism. Normal Judaism is that taruvus of yavish b'yavish is going to be vato chadetrei. But if you go through the tour in the Beis Yosef, you see some interesting things. You see, first of all, that the Beis Yosef points out, according to the Ra'ivid and the Rambam and Rashi, that a tarubis of yavish b'yavish requires shisha. No? You saw that? The Beis Yosef quotes that Rambam, Ra'ivid, and Rashi say that tarubis of yavish b'yavish requires shisha. The Ra'ivid is quoted by the Rambam. The Rambam is befeish in like Karkidam Macholos Asuras. He talks about a case where you're cooking chelot haklayos with other chelot. Basically, fat on an animal, sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's treif, no? The fat that would go on the mizbeach is treif fat. The fat on top of the kidneys is treif fat. The fat on top of the stomach. I used to take the smicha guys every year to watch a shechita. And it's very cool. After you shecht an animal, Rav Ben Chayim would do the shechita. He's the only Jew I ever saw who buttons his jacket before he shechts an animal. Takes talent. But Rav Ben Chayim would do a shechita, and then he would like slice the stomach. You hang the animal up by like a hook. You slice the stomach, and you have all the fat comes out. It's like Eglon Ben Gera killed, what was his name? Eglon? Right? And like all the fat comes out, the psukim say. Like, mamish happens in these animals. That fat that's on top of the stomach is chelot d'oraisa. the fat on top of the kidneys is chelaka oivaisa. That's the fat that will go on the mizbeach. It's mamish gorgeous. The chelav al gabe ha kerev, the fat on top of the stomach, it mamish looks like silk. It's beautiful. You understand why it's a matana to the Ribono Shel Olam. They put it on the mizbeach. It's gorgeous. It absolutely is beautiful. If the Rambam discusses a case when this chelav gets mixed up with other chelav, and the Rambam sounds like it's going to be batul chavitrei min hatayra, but mitzvah in yishishim, even though it's a taruvis of yavesh biyavesh. The Rambam holds yishishim, the Raiva holds yishishim, and Rashi holds yishishim. What's funny over here is that the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashi, but he doesn't give you a source of the Rashi. And one of the reasons that Beis Yosef doesn't give you a source of the Rashi is because I don't know if such a Rashi exists. Okay, in other words, so the Shita Mekubetzes had such a Rashi. I'm not denying that the Rashi is there, it's just in my Rashis, on the printed page of the Gemara, shteinisht. Right? So, I mean, I'd like to see that Shita B'Shem Rashi, if you'll show it to me. But one could argue that maybe the pshat is like this. We said from the Ran that the reason to distinguish between min b'mino and min b'she'ino mino is because tam ke'ikr is do'iraisa, no? And therefore, since min b'she'ino mino could potentially become do'iraisa if you cook it together, so therefore they're also machmir on min b'she'ino mino yavish b'yavish, since you could cook it together. However, all the Mishainim who assume that tam ke'ikr is d'rabbanan, which is, let's say, the Rambam and Rashi, so then, for them, there is no reason to distinguish between min b'mino and min b'she'ino mino. If that's the case, so I could go one of two directions. I could assume that everything is chad b'tray, or I could assume everything is b'shishim. And the Beis Yosef is saying that Rashi and the Rambam are assuming everything is b'shishim. Again, what I'm doing now is I'm paraphrasing what the Prima Gadim has in the Psichot Taruvis. It's Chelak Aleph, Anaf Aleph, Dibra Hamaslo Behine, right? But the idea that we're paraphrasing is that according to those, that Tam Ke'ikr is Derabbanan, so there's really no reason to distinguish between Min B'mino and Min B'she'ino Mino, and therefore we assume that everything is B'shishim. But again, Hayotzei is that this sheet is kind of a collector's item, and La Halacha, we assume that all you need is, by Min B'mino, if it is Yavesh B'Yavesh, Chavitrei is going to be Bato. That Nechora is the din. Great? Let's take a deep breath. Now.
Are we saying that Ram and Rashi, we know they hold that?
We know from elsewhere, the next, when we learn Sadi Fes, when we talk about Tam Ke'ikr, we'll show you that Rashi and the Rambam, the Tam Ke'ikr is the Rabbanan. They kind of hold that, chew it a bit, we'll get there kind of in like 2 weeks. Now, there is a discussion between the Rush and the Rashba. That's like the real sugya over here. When I say that min b'mino, yavesh b'yavesh, is going to be batul chad b'tray, so the Rush and the Rashba have a machlekes what that means. The Rush writes in Perek Gid Hanasha Simin Lamed Zayin that really it's batul, and you could eat all the pieces if you want. You could have one person sit down and eat lunch and eat all three pieces of meat, even though you know that one of the pieces was treif. But says the Rush, the idea of bittul is that there is a transformation that takes place, that the item was treif, but now that that item gets mixed in with other stuff, it becomes kosher. Right? For the Rush, there is a transformative property of bittul, and you're allowed to eat all three pieces. Perhaps you can't eat all three pieces at the same time, perhaps. But that, even that's not clear according to the Rosh. Right? The Rosh is only talking about eating all three pieces one after the other. No? Maybe he doesn't imagine that. Shayet have like a za sandwich. But
that's
what?
That's what he said before.
That you're allowed or you're not allowed?
All three ones.
He says all three ones. I thought he was talking about all three, only one person eating them.
Later on, Mesh also talking about that dish. I think he quotes the. I think he does quote it.
Wait, let's just say it like this for the time being. Yeah. Okay? For the Rosh, Lecha Oira, there is a transformative notion of Bittul, and you can eat all the pieces. Rashba disagrees with the Rosh. And the Rashba assumes that you cannot eat all the pieces. Now, the Rashba and the Rosh are Lecha Oira disagreeing about the following idea. What is the nature of Bittul Baruch? Or we could ask the question more fundamentally, where in the Torah do I see Bittul Baruch? And you're never going to find a pasuk in Chumash that says Bittul Baruch. It's not there. So where does it come from? So it comes from the din of Acher Rabbi Mahatos. But l'cha'ora, achari rabbi mahatos is not bittul b'roiv. Achari rabbi mahatos means that I follow rov, meaning aslinon basarupa. In other words, let's say if I shecht an animal. So if I shecht a behema, I need rov of shtei simonim. I shecht an oif, I need rov of simon echad. Right? There are two simonim. There's the trachea and the esophagus. Right? When you shecht an oif, you need a rove of one simon. Where does rove come from? Teretz is, once you shecht rove, it's ki'ilu, you shechted the whole thing. No? That's not a din of bittul. That's a din of azlinon basaruba. And the Chaor, when the Torah says that achari rabbi mahatos, the Torah is talking about azlinon basaruba. Azlinon basaruba means, once you have the majority, it's like you have the whole thing. But how do you know bittul baruch?
Isn't it?
So, Rebbe.
Kizer shchita ruba kikulo.
Ruba kikulo is a chora fancy way of saying aslina and basaruch. Ruba kikulo means that once I did the majority of the thing, it's like I did the whole thing.
You also can look at it the other way, that the entire chefta is in the road.
Ruba
kikulo, it's a different din than.
The last one or Bishop, the whole. There is a difference between Ruba Kikulo and Ruba Yisak. Come on,
I'm
saying Ruba
Kikulo is different than both.
What?
Ruba Kikulo is different than both.
You're saying that Ruba Kikulo is a different din?
It's in Gemara. It's used differently than
Ruba Yisak and Ruba Yisak. The Gemara speaks about the difference between Ruba Yisak and Ruba Yisak. Come on, I'm not sure if that's so relevant to our discussion.
It's different than those two, as I'm saying. Gemara differentiates Ruba Kikulo and both Rebbe.
Okay. I don't know how much of a difference it will make for our approach. Because what we're trying to say is that bittul b'rov, I don't know where it comes from. Right? The Gemara in Chulin is discussing roiv ba'ofen klali. Right? But how do you know bittul b'rov? Where do you see in Chumash that if I have one piece of treif meat and two pieces of kosher meat, that it's mutter? Vushteit. Right? So it's not at all clear. And the din of Azulina Basaruba, Rubo Kikulo, all those din of the Gemara at the beginning of Chulin develops. Right? Be it as it may, that's not the same as Bittul Baruch. Okay, is that a better way of saying it? It's not the same din as Bittul Baruch. How do you know Bittul Baruch? So, Reb Chaim in the stencils. Now, we should point out that the Reb Chaims and the stencils are always questionable whether they are really Reb Chaims. I just looked this morning, Reb Yitzi Lichtenstein, the new Rosh Hashiva and Torah Vedas, put out a Kisvei Reb Chaim, and this piece is not there. This piece is only found in the stencils, which means it wasn't in the notebook that Reb Moshe inherited from Reb Chaim.
He just put
this
out.
What?
This is a new thing.
He put out a new, Yitzi Lichtenstein, the Rosh Hashiva and Torah Vedas, published the Kisvei Reb Chaim, which is the notebook that Reb Moshe got from Reb Chaim. But this shtickle is not in there. But this shtickle is found in all the stencils. And basically what Reb Chaim said is something to this effect. Taisus in Bava Kama Daf Chav Zayin asks Akasha. We know that Ein Holchem B'mamin Acha Harov. If that's the case, that Ein Holchem B'mamin Acha Harov, so how come if I have a Din Torah, and let's see, for argument's sake, we use a Bezin 23. Let's say 12 Dayanim say one way, and 11 Dayanim say the other way. So Din is your Chayim, no? Why is it? Is it that Ein Holchem B'mamin Acha Harov? But let's say there's a case whether you owe money, whether Reuben owes money to Shimon, whatever it is. So you have a division among the Bezdin. Some say he is Chayim, some say he's not Chayim. So we follow Rove. But that's Holchem B'mamon, because I'm going to pass in Dini Mamonis based on that Rove. So how does that work? Don't we know that Ein Holchem B'mamon Achah HaRove? So Tosis basically tells me that, you know what? That the robe of Dayanim is different. What does that mean? So l'cha'ora, what that means is as follows. That means two things, says Reb Chaim. Thing one that it means is that when I need a bezin, let's say, of 23, only 12 of them say that I'm chayiv. So how could you be chayiv if you don't have a bezin of 23? The teretz is that rove means that the it's ke'il, the entire bezdin is giving the psak. That's one element of rove. Now, there's another element of Rove that, one second, does the Psak have the status of a Suffolk? Does the Psak have the status of a Vaday? When 12 Dayanim say you're Chayiv and 11 Dayanim say that you're Pater, if you're going to tell me that it remains a Suffolk, so then in Dine Mamanis, the Muchzik would always win. Because it's a suffix. I could always say Kimli. I could say I hold like the minority opinion. No, by Dine Mamonis, right? Dine Mamonis is like football. That possession is 9/10 of the game. So you're holding it. You're the Muchzik. So you should win. The teretz is that the rove is also Machriya, that there's no longer a suffix. So effectively, what Reb Chaim is saying is as follows. There are two dinim of rove. One din of rove is that rove is machriya asafik. That after rove sets in, you don't have any more question. Another din of rove is that there's no suffik at all, but the halacha is kaiveya, that the whole thing happened. Like by shchita, there was no suffik kihuzah, but the halacha makes it that it's ki'il, the whole thing happened. It's ki'il, the whole simon was nechtach. So rove by a Sanhedrin functions in two different ways, says Reb Chaim. Rove by a Sanhedrin makes it like the entire thing happened, all 23 Dayanim gave up psak. And rove also tells me that there is no longer any suffix, that the 11 Dayanim in the minority, it's their opinion is bata umavuta. Their opinion is gone entirely because rove is mahriya the suffix. So Reb Chaim's yisod is that the pasuk of atari ravi mahatis, which is telling me that I follow a bezin, that pasuk is teaching me the din of azlinon basaruba and the din of and the din of rove being machriya a suffix. They are both true according to Reb Chaim. They're both coming from the same source. Now this is not abundantly clear, because we could argue that the din of rove in terms of being Machriya a Safek, maybe that then requires a Pasuk. No, let me say it the other way. I should say it the other way. Maybe the din of being Machriya a Safek by a robe is not really a Hachra'a. Maybe it's just the possibilities. But the other din of Achrei Rav Mahatos, Nivazlina Basaruba, maybe that din is based on the Pasuk. Meaning, let's just give our case as an example. The Machlokas Rush and Rashba. The Rashba, L'cha'ora, says that the reason why you can't eat all three pieces is because it remains a Safek Isser. Each piece is a Safek Isser. So usually, I could eat one piece, you could eat one piece, he could eat one piece, and that would be okay according to the Rashba, because each of us could say, you know what, someone else got the Isser. But if I'm going to eat all three pieces, says to the Rashba, I can't do that. Because robe does not mean that there's no Safek. And I'm not allowed to eat a Safek Isser. And in the case when I eat all three pieces, I'm eating a Vaday Isser, no? So I can eat piece one and assume piece one is kosher. I can eat piece two and assume piece two is kosher. Once I'm going to eat piece three, that means I for sure ate treif. Because the rove did not transform it to become kosher. Rove is just saying that we are making an assumption. The rush, however, is assuming that Rove is transforming something. There's no longer any suffix that remains. In Reb Chaim's worldview, you can't split between the din of Rove as being Machriya a suffix and the din of Rove as saying that we just follow Rove, because they're both coming from the same source. However, L'cha'ora, the Rashba is saying, whoa, 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 I'm not sure, says the Rashba. Maybe there's no such thing as transformation. Maybe the din of Bittul Barayiv is just a way of saying, you know what, there was a suffix here. And I could rely, Rayiv tells me that, listen, I'll assume that when I'm eating this piece of meat, it's kosher. I assume when I eat that piece of meat, it's kosher. But when I reach a point that I can't make such an assumption anymore, so it's going to be usser. In other words, it's not like a gezeiras hakosel for the Rashba. Right? What the Rashba is saying is, the din of bito barov, right, by yavesh be yavesh, is just a fancy way of saying, you know what, play the probability game. The Rush is telling me, no, there's a gezeiras hakosel of a bit over Rove. Ike.
It's just a spar of the Rashba, or is this like, what's the source?
Logic. The source is that God gave the Rashba a mind. And the Rashba is saying that Hasvara no senes, that this is going to be mutter. Right? Hasvara no senes, piece one is mutter. Source no senes, piece two is mutter. And piece three, I the same person, can't eat piece three because then igloi moso lafreya, I have no svara. Safik d'oraisa on piece one. So again, so the din of Raiv tells me that it's not a suffik insofar as I'm allowed to eat piece one. Because the majority is okay. So probability tells me I'm allowed to eat piece one. I'm probably okay. Right? I'm probably okay to eat piece two also. Once I get to piece three, I'm in trouble. Design for sure, I'm in trouble, right?
I mean, when we say suffix derisible chumra, is that only assuming it's a 50-50 chance, or is that even...
Correct.
Rash is assuming that if it's not 50-50, then you
don't... If it's not 50-50, so then it's not really a suffix. I think that's correct. Because I have probabilities.
But it's right case of right. Every single case.
Speak slowly.
Every case of Rav. Every time you have a Safek Daraisa, the Rav works. It's a
wide. Nahon.
And even some say Safek Shvei, but we can't arrive at any time you have a Safek.
Right. I mean, I think the Rashba is assuming that I use logic and probabilities to overcome the Dinam of Safek Daraisa. Right? That's what the Rashi was saying. But it blives a suffix. Acharei kichlos hakol, there is some suffix iser here. For the Rush, there is no suffix iser acharei kichlos hakol. Suffix has been resolved. Let's go on. Let's go on to Shach. Yavesh b'yavesh, min b'mino, is batol chad b'trei. Correct? That's basic Judaism? The Shach and Osbav writes, kilomar, it's batol b'roiv. Point one in the Shach, kilomar always means lav dafka. In other words, you would say that batol b'roiv, you would say that chad b'trei batol, that you need two pieces of kasher for every piece of treif. Says the Shach, no, that's not true. You need more kasher than treif, but you don't need a 2-to-1 ratio. Let's say I have, right? Let's say I have two pieces of treif. How many pieces of kasher do I need for it to be okay? Do I need three pieces of kasher or four? If you assume chad b'trei is dafka, you would need four pieces of kasher, no? But the Shach is saying kilayma, meaning if I have three pieces of kasher, the two pieces of treif will be bottle.
So I was thinking about this when you said that. I feel like it's pasha. Isn't like, it's all basically pasha. The only reason why I told that example...
Can you just speak slowly? My hearing is not good.
I thought the Shach was very passionate because if you had Pasuk is saying Batul, it doesn't say Batul with a ratio.
Okay.
And the only reason why the Torah or the Gemara or whatever is being the example of 2 versus 1 is because they want to say 49 versus...
Okay, just say there. That certainly is reasonable. Not only is it reasonable, l'cha'ira, the case that we were giving as the paradigm of Rove being a Sanhedrin, so I could have a 12-to-11 vote, and that would not lead to bittul if you hold that you need really chad b'trei.
Right?
Again, you would need like a math major to figure out, like if you have a bezin of 23, how many would be necessary for chad b'trei. But the pashtus is... Yeah. And this is what the Goyan Maharsha points out over here. Goyan Maharsha writes that if you would need mamish chad b'trei, so then there's no raya from the Sanhedrin. The case of Sanhedrin is a raya to the Shach's Yisov. The point is, however, the Prima Godim and all the other poskim quote that the Minchas Yaakov is a commentary on the Torah's Chatos. The Minchas Yaakov says you really need chad b'trei. Aye, what about Sanhedrin? So I was bothered by this kasha for a while, so I have in my notes that I asked Rav Schechter this a few years ago. Rav Schechter sent me to Rav Yosef Engel, has a sefer called the Beis HaOtzer, which is like an encyclopedia. He was trying to write like a lumdish encyclopedia based on the osius of the Aleph Beis. So in letter, he only got through Aleph and Beis. He never got past it. But like, it's an amazing sefer. So in the letter Beis, he has an era called Bittul B'Rayv. Makes sense, right? So Bittul starts with the base. And Rabbi Yosef Engel deals with this kasha over there. And he quotes that there's a Sifrei and a ton of Devei Eliyahu who learn that a Bezdin has to have 30 people. Where does 30 come from? Because the Pasuk says, Vishaftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. Eda always means 10. Vishaftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda means that you have 10 are matzdikin and 10 are mechayven. Right? Eda, Eda. But then there's a third pasuk of Eda, Behishivu also ha'eda. That means I have a third Eda, I have 30. Well, 1 second. A bezin of 30, what's going on? Shaftun hitzil, I have 10 mechayven, and then obviously I have 20 mezakim. So that means that I have, right, double. And that could be the pshat if you assume. You see, the Minchas Yaakov himself assumes that the din of chad b'trei literally isn't gantz in the din's rabbanon. Min ha'tayra is going to be batel 12-11. But midrabbanan you need chadikra. However, if you read the Prima Gunim slowly, he's quoting others who are assuming that's a din d'oraisa. If it's a din d'oraisa, where does it come from? So it might come from this razzle dazzle sifrei tanvei Eliyahu that you require 30 dayanim, 10 mechaven, and then another 20 to be mizake. Okay, so 31. You throw another one in and over there. Yeah, okay. Right, but
no, you can't have a din until you have 20 people on one side.
But you need 20 people on one side. You need at least You need at least two Adas against the one Ada who is Mechayev. That's if you look in the Rabbi Yosef Engel on the Beis HaOtzer, I think it's on page 74 in Eis Beis where he has this. Okay, now. So the Pashtus is the first words in the Shach say Kolomar it's Batol Beroy. Meaning that you just need more. Kiddushiv achri rabban lahatois. Then he writes afilu lekarayiv ela bahanach tre shehim ketanim meha iser. Kigon shall know that izamehen aser kadokam and sivkat and ches is bottle. Let's say you don't have roiv, only afilu lekarayiv ela bahanach tre shehim ketanim meha iser. I have one piece of meat. I don't know which is kosher, which is trif. I have three pieces here. One piece, right, is very big. Two, three. Right, two cell phones and a chumash. Chumash bigger than the cell phones. Says the shach, it's going to be mutter also. But the shach is not clear whether the two cell phones in sum are larger than the one chumash. That's two opinions here in the Pisrei Tshuva Os Aleph. Are the two cell phones larger than the chumash? This is called, in rabbinic terms, do we require rov minyan or also rov binyan? Right? Rov minyan would mean that how many chances do I have? I have three pieces of meat. Well, if the majority of chances I have is that the piece of meat is going to be kosher, so then it's okay. Even though, like, two pieces are smaller than the third piece. Rav Binyan would say that, no, you could only be megal if you hold. You can only be megal if you have the two pieces that are bigger than the third piece. That the total of these two cell phones is larger than the chumash. L'cha'ora in Svara, this question should depend somewhat on the machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba. No? Take a deep breath. How are we going to plug this one in? Anyone want to try to take a stab at plugging this in? How would this depend on the machlokas Rosh and Rashba?
It's about Svara, then. That you probably are not eating it with the Rashba with the whole thing. It's combined. If still the yisr is bigger than the etzer, there's no scar that says that you could eat this first piece.
Yes and no. I mean, I could say it's vakarot, actually. I could say that there is a scar, this piece that I took. There are three choices, right? Either the piece that I take in my hand is kosher or treif. Okay? So, each piece I take could be kosher.
But it's more of a chance that it's kosher.
Well, no. I have the same number of chances.
Different pieces.
Right?
I would say that for the Rashba, it's quite clear that it depends on the amount and not anything else, but the Rosh could go either way. There's no reason to the Rosh just depends on whether or not there's a cost of involved an extra nakuda of requiring one to be more in quantity than in physical mass than the other. But the Rashba is to be obvious to the one side.
Isn't the Rosh saying it's a new identity, no matter what, it's a new identity of the other two?
It may just be another nakuda that you need to have it to be right in all ways. Like, what qualifies as right? What qualifies as right according to the Rosh? According to the Rosh, you can make an argument that in order for it to qualify as right, it not only has to be more in a number, but it has to be more in amount as well. Otherwise, it just doesn't.
But I'm saying that achieves that would be fine. I'm saying you have to define that in the Rosh to say that. Is it like the Rosh makes such a distinction?
Because it has to be right. What qualifies as right? Start from the perspective of why is he right in the first place for the middle of the plot?
So look in the Ba'alei HaShulchan Sifkat and Hay. The Ba'alei HaShulchan Sifkat and Hay and the Beirim over there, they basically, I think it would go like this. What I would say is like this. If I'm a Rush Jew and I need transformative properties, so it's much more unlikely to say that there's going to be transformation based on the number of chances that I have. Transformation, the Cha'ora, takes place based on the total mix, the total volume that I have. If I'm a Rashba Jew, so I'm dealing with the probabilities. And when I talk about the probabilities that I have, it's more probable that each piece of meat I take is going to be kosher. Now, what's interesting is, and this is something that we have to think about more for next time, right? Look in the Ba'alei HaShulchan Sifkat and Hay. Let's say I have three pieces. One is bigger than the other two, and the two together are not larger than this one, right? So should it be okay to memanavshach eat a small piece of meat? Because a small piece of meat, right, if it's a kosher piece, it's great. If it's not a kosher piece of meat, right, if it's a trade piece of meat, that means that there is more kosher, that the big meat is kosher, right? So then it's going to be batal. So shouldn't they say, memanavshach, I can't even eat a small piece of meat? And apparently that's not true. Because if I take the approach of Rov Binyan, so I'm assuming that I can't eat the small piece of meat. Why not? That requires some head scratching and some lumdus. We'll pick up on this next time. The other thing to talk about also is whether we paskin like the Rush or like the Rashba. And that is the first Taz and the Prima Gadim there in the Mishpat Sos. We'll talk about that and the Taisus Rit. Right? So basically what we're trying to do right now is we're figuring out Rove. And the large question is Rove just a probability and it remains a suffix? Or is Rove some sort of transformative idea? And that would be what the... That would be what the Rosh is saying. And we'll pick up from here next time, Amir Tashem.